That's the dichotomy, isn't it, of the Christian life. So often, we're trying to strengthen our weaknesses to compensate for how we feel so that we feel ready, good enough, equipped to do what God wants us to do. Just, we're going to look through a few scriptures this morning, and let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, first of all. We're going to talk about weakness this morning. Is that all right? You know, a lot of the time, there's two things, isn't there, that God talks about in terms of weakness and strength in the Bible. We want to be strong in the spirit, but weak in the flesh. But so often we want to feel like we're strong in the flesh, in ourselves, put it that way, so that we then feel like we are strong in the spirit, because so much of our lives, if we're not careful, is dependent on how we feel and how we think we're doing, our performance. We mark ourselves out of 10 so much of the time. Even if we don't realise it, there's a train of thought going on in our minds that we're marking ourselves, how we think we're doing with God, how we think we're applying the truth. You know, if my feelings don't match up with the truth, then is there a problem in my life? Am I not really making the grade? And there's a lot in Corinthians that is about weakness. And there can be weakness in the body because maybe believers are young in their faith. But a lot of what is being said there by Paul is that you can have people that are weak in faith, and therefore we need those who are strong in faith to help encourage the weak. But there's a difference between being weak in faith and being weak in the flesh. Because we're all weak in the flesh. In and of ourselves, we have no good thing in us. You know, God is the only good thing in our lives. And therefore, we're all weak in the flesh. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians live their Christian life trying to make themselves feel strong in and of themselves. One of the things that Pastor Colin's been speaking about the last few weeks is how we want to be dead to sin, dead to ourselves, reckon ourselves dead. Because when something's dead, we don't want to resurrect it and try and bring it back to life. And the reason why Jesus went to the cross was to crucify the sinful nature, was to crucify us in our selves, our own sin life, our sin nature. He went to crucify that to the cross so that we couldn't live in it, we couldn't resurrect it, but then we became alive in him, in Christ, so that our life that we live is lived in him. Now that's really the basis of Paul talking about how we don't want to live in our weaknesses, but we want to live in him. And how so many Christians, because they don't understand who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, we are trying to improve ourselves in our Christian life. Many Christians are on a pilgrimage to improve themselves. And one of the things the word says is reckon yourself dead. Don't try and improve yourself, because there isn't a latest model. There's only one model, and that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's us in him. Amen. There is only one model in the showroom. You can't trade in your Christian life for another one. The only trading is trading your old life for the new one. And so Paul bats on and on and on in Corinthians, in other places, saying, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. There is never any moment in our lives that we can improve ourselves, strengthen ourselves, make ourselves feel acceptable, make ourselves feel stronger, make ourselves feel good enough for the purposes of God. One of the things for me, I've been looking through some of these verses, and I said on Sunday that I never, ever feel ready, totally ready, for anything that I'm doing. The more you go on in your Christian life, the more aware you are of your weaknesses, of your failings, because the more you go on with God, hopefully, the more He is asking of you and the more situations you're having to trust in Him, and He's dropping you in it more and more because you are maturing in your faith, you're growing in Him, therefore He knows you can, in faith, handle more than you could before. But at the same time as that process is going on, you become more aware of your weaknesses, your failings, your inadequacies, how much you really don't know, and in some ways how much you really don't know Him in the way you thought you did. But yet you do know Him, but you feel like you don't. And there's this battle going on all the time between who we are in Him and this feeling in ourselves of weakness and I'm not really that ready. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians here. Or let's start at the beginning of the chapter. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. To be used by God, you do not need to be eloquent. Amen. Amen. When I was about 14 or 15, there was a relative of mine, and he said to me one day, he said, if you are ever going to be a preacher, then you need to go and have speech lessons. You need to go and learn how to speak properly so that you can communicate so that people will listen to you. I mean, I didn't even want to be a preacher. I mean, I'm thinking, I don't even want to be a preacher, so there's no way I'm going for elocution lessons. But this guy just said something. He said, if you want to be used by God, then you need to learn how to speak properly. Like, change your accent so that you have more of an eloquent tone of voice. I mean, that's what he said to me. He stood there saying it to me. And at that moment, it was like, I felt like this weight just going, you know, pushing me down. And it just confirmed in my own thinking, I mean, I had, as I was growing up, I had in the back of my mind somewhere, I was trying to push it away, but that you'll do the same sort of things as your dad's doing. And I used to push, I thought, the last thing in the world I want to do is that, you know. And I want to do something else that I'm going to enjoy. So... and... I mean, as a kid, I mean, I wouldn't even, if there was a group of three or four people sitting around talking about something, especially if it was something spiritual, I wouldn't say anything. And I'd be like, you don't ask me anything. And, you know, to even stand up and say anything to a small group of people, that was not me. I used to be really nervous. I used to have eczema really badly all over my body. And anything that, I just used to be quite nervous about things, and so that irritated it, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, about that kind of age, 14, 15, you know, that's a key age in your life, you know, where if you're a Christian at that point, God is speaking to you and just getting you ready to make the right choices as to where you go and what you do and the call on your life and everything. And at that point, somebody standing there saying that to me, it was like a truck just hitting me full on, you know, in my life. And it just kind of was like a compound pressure that went down, saying, well, that just confirms it, that there's no way, you know, I don't even want to go anywhere near doing anything like that. And it just makes you realise that in all the areas that you think you're weak or you think do not match up to what you think you need for God to use you. It just challenges all of the feelings, the emotions. I'm just trying to be honest this morning, because sometimes the way we can preach things and talk from the front is that everybody has to feel like their feet are just slightly off the ground. That if you're going to be used by God, you've got to have this sensation, this feeling, this just thing about your life, this hovering anointing, you know, that you need to have, that when you walk into a room, it's like you're gliding in, you know, you're the person for that moment and all that kind of stuff. Man, I never feel like that. There are moments where you feel all sorts of stuff in the presence of God, and you just, you know, I'm not, you know, in terms of my natural self. Because in your body at this moment, there's two things going on. There's the, let's put it this way, the feelings and the emotions of the Holy Spirit, but there's also your natural feelings and emotions that go on as well. And you can have these two things swinging about in your life. Now, I know I could stand up here and say, well, you should be dead to all those things, and they should be, but you've got emotions. You have feelings. But it's what we do with them at any given moment that determines what we then do in terms of our actions. Like, personally for me, I don't get nervous when I've got to speak. I used to absolutely freak out. When I first started doing a few bits of speaking, if I knew I was speaking in about 3 weeks' time somewhere, I'd be thinking about it all the time. 3 weeks' time, what on earth am I going to say? What on earth, you know, what happens if they don't like me? What happens if I say the wrong thing? What happens if, you know, you have all these things going on, you know. And obviously, the more you do something, the more... And now it's like, well, it's either going to be good or it ain't. It's either going to, you know, if people don't like it, then, well, I don't care. Do you know what I mean? In the right way. And at the end of the day, I can't make something good. I can't make it something. It's like, well, God, if you've called me to do this, you're going to show me stuff, speak to me, whatever. And for me, one of the things that we've got to do is just make our Christian life normal.
Amen.
But in a supernatural way. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we always say that, don't we? Let's just say we want it to be normal. All right? Forget the supernatural bit, because that's obvious. But we want to be the most normal people we can be.
Yes.
That we're not trying to think that we have to become something that's like, I now feel like the person I think I'm supposed to be. Because that is a lie from the devil. When I was younger, I used to think, well, maybe one day when I'm a bit further down the road and I'm doing this, that and the other, I'll feel like I think my dad feels. Or I think I'll feel like some of these other people feel. But as you go on in life, you realise that feeling never arrives. And it's still, I wonder what that feeling's going to be like, that I think it's going to be like. I wonder, you know, with my Pastor Corin or with Pastor James, I wonder if I'll ever get to the way I think they feel. But actually, when you talk to them, they don't feel like you think they feel at all. Is that true? It's the same thing as when you're young, you look at somebody, say when you're 15 or 20, you look at somebody who's 40 and you think, cool, that's a long way away. What's that feel like to be 40? You don't even want to think about it, right? But then you think, what's it like to be 60? It's like, no, I don't even want to go there because that's depressing. So you kind of, but as you get older, you arrive, I'm nearly 40, and I think, I mean, heck. I mean, 40 to me sounds old, okay? And still now, but I'm going to be 40 next year. And I'm thinking, 40? Okay, I have these moments where, I don't know about anybody else, but life is going, and it's like, but I don't feel like I'm going to be 40. I still feel like I could be 20.
Yes.
All those that are over 40 are going, hallelujah, yes, brother. Yeah. I just witnessed with what you're saying. Especially down on the front row here. But there's a little bit of a con in our lives, if we're not careful, that we're waiting to feel a certain way, or waiting to feel like, well, one day I'm going to feel like I think they feel, or I'm going to be like I think they are. But you see, it's what we do at any given moment with what we're feeling. So you come to a situation and you know the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, and there's a quickening, or you just, that still small voice, and you know. But at the same time, you go, oh, you know, but there's feelings that contradict that. Because you have, what if nothing happens? But it's what you choose to do at that moment as to determine who has the lordship at that moment. Is it the word of God or is it your feelings? And as you give the word of God or whatever, the lordship at that moment, and you just do, feeling like, I don't know what's going to happen and I'm not sure, a bit nervous. But as you actually do what God says to do and you put the word or the obedience as Lord over your feelings, something happens because you obey. But you've submitted your feelings and your naturalness, your humanness to the Holy Spirit at that moment. Now, after the event and something happens, you walk away going, oh, I should have just done it without all the feelings, don't you? Oh, I do anyway. And then you think, well, the next time I won't even think about it. I'll just do it. Then the next time it comes up and suddenly it's, oh, the same thing again. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to do what God says, or am I going to kind of just hold back because I'm not sure I'm in the right place, or I don't feel I've prayed enough, or I don't think I'm on fire enough? You know, can God really use me? All these things that go on, everybody has them. But I do anyway, and I think everybody does as well. Matthew 26 verse 41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Your body will always, always, always be weak. One thing you will always have with you for the rest of your life is weakness. I'm sorry if this isn't a faith message this morning. I'm sorry if this isn't priming your pump and just making you feel like you're 6 foot off the ground. But that is half the problem. Or more than half the problem. If your pump has to be primed so that you feel like you're $1 million and that you're God's most favorite treasured possession on the planet all of the time, you'll never do anything. Now, that does not discount that we need a revelation of him and all that. I'm not saying that. But if we're not careful, we live on the basis of our faith having to be a feeling of a certain nature, of a certain type, so that we feel confident to do something in God. Some of you are looking at me this morning like, well, did you get out of bed the wrong side this morning? There are too many people out there that don't even have a clue about the Lord, but there are too many people out there that have a completely misconception, a wrong perception or misconception about what Christianity is really like and what you've got to be like to be a Christian. Anyway, let's look at Romans 6, 19. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, and just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've heard a bit about this recently, verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Why does it take us so long sometimes to constantly live in the good of what the word says? Because the amount of times we hear that we have been set free from sin, but yet we still struggle inwardly. I mean, Paul talks about that, doesn't he? I don't do the things I want to do, but I end up doing the things I don't want to do, and then I do the things I don't want to do, and then I don't do the things I do want to do, and all that. Now, what is that? That's not just that he is sinning, but inside his spirit and his heart, he wants to do the things that are right. He's got a God motivation in his life, and he wants to walk in the things of God, but he doesn't always do those things. Sometimes, like he says sometimes, I came to you in fear and trembling. Paul was a normal bloke. He didn't just ride into town, you know, and here we go. He came at times in fear, in trembling. He was worried at different times. And as we see from Paul and all that, he just chooses in those moments the victory that he knew he had to live in that and not according to his feelings. But yet there was this struggle going on all the time. I don't do the things I want to do, and I do things I don't want to do. In some ways, I'm not where I want to be. And probably you would say the same thing. But actually, in reality, you are actually where you want to be. But yet you have something going on inside you that says, but I want to be further on than I am. But yet you are where you are because that's where you want to be. But your spirit says, no, I want to be further than that. And your natural kind of self says, well, no, I don't really want to be further on than that because, you know, there's some other things that I like as well. But yet your spirit's going, no, I want to be further than that. But yet you are where you are because that's where you want to be. But yet you want to be further because there's something inside you that wants to be further. Do you understand? And there's this, like, and we're struggling with this all the time. This is the Christian life. This is what Paul talks about, this struggle. Struggling with in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, he talks about, verse 29, struggling with all the power of God's energy that is working within him. So there's the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit at work in him all the time, urging him on, moving him on, pushing him on. But yet he's struggling with that natural weakness to move with God because of the natural things, the emotions, the feelings, the worries and all that. But yet he's struggling with all this power and energy that's working in him, wanting to obey God, wanting to move with God. But yet there's this natural life there as well. And it's just those momentary, daily kind of decisions and choices that we make that actually enables us to walk and live in the spirit and not be dictated to by our feelings and emotions and circumstances, by our weaknesses. And it is a daily, please don't ever think that there's a day at some point when suddenly you're just going to feel, that's it, I'm in revival and I'm just, and that for the, and you just, I'm waiting for that day when suddenly, because there isn't such a day. For me personally, just to finish, I don't know when it was 80 something. I was at the Bible school here in some 84, I think it was, and I was only about 3 years old. But we did a mission in Wales. And we just had a few weeks running up. We had two or three missions in a row around the country. Pastor Conan and one or two other guys were speaking at these things. And I was kind of playing drums in the band. And we had a few weeks in the Bible school here where we just were seeking God for about 3 weeks. I think most of the lectures were scrapped for at least a couple of weeks. And we just spent all day just seeking God, meeting with God. And we went to this mission in South Wales, and we prayed for a couple of hours before all the meetings, just all the team that were there. And I can remember that because of what had happened here and the way God had been kind of just working and moving, we'd been through repentance and this and that and the other, just getting right with God and everything, that we were having, when we were praying and people from the local churches were coming to join in with us, they were kind of walking in to the prayer room and literally just falling flat on their faces, crying out in repentance and all that sort of stuff. And I can remember after one of the prayer meetings, we'd prayed for, I don't know, two and a half hours, but it had gone like that. And I can remember standing up, literally feeling like I'd never sinned. It was like, I can remember getting into the van, me and one of the other guys, we were kind of driving the van. I can remember getting in the van, and we were sitting in the van, and we got in to drive to this meeting, and we both sat there just looking out the front window. And it was just, you know, those moments you have that, like, they can happen years ago, but they're like, it just happened. You know those things that stick in your mind? He was sitting there, and I was sitting here, and we kind of sat speechless. And I just looked out of the front window, but I felt totally, totally clean and pure. Like I'd never, I just, you know, it was a feeling. And I turned to this guy and I said, do you feel clean? He's like, and he just said, yeah, he said, I never want to lose, I don't want to ever lose it. I feel like, he said, I feel like I've never sinned. And we were kind of sitting there, you know, and it was one of those moments where he's like, if I start the car and the van and drive it, and, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to, not that driving is sin, but, you know, it's like, but at that moment, you were so aware of, like, I don't want to do it. I don't even want to think anything that is like even just not right. It was just, now was that a feeling? Yeah, it was. But do I live for that feeling? No, I don't. Do I have that feeling right now? No. But I don't want to sin. I don't want to do anything that doesn't please God. Now, at that moment, I had a feeling that was like, and I was just aware during those few days, and all of us were on the team there, we were just aware of the holiness of God. Loads of people were getting saved, all sorts of things happening, miracles in these meetings, but you were just aware of, like, I don't want to do anything that is just not pleasing to the Lord. Even if it's not sin, if you know what I mean, it's like, but just, now, can you live like that for the whole of your life? I don't know, it would have to be the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? But it's what I know for me God did at that moment, or in those days, where you can call it the fear of the Lord, you can call it an encounter in His holiness, you can call it different things, but what it did for me was set something off in my life where, God, I want to please you. God, I don't want to choose to sin. I don't want to. And I think there's times, maybe some of you have had something like that since you've been here, where you've encountered God like that, or God's working something in you. But God doesn't want me to live in that feeling for the rest of my life, because if the feeling's not there, then I'm going to think, oh no, I'm in sin, or I'm not living in the way that God wants me to. But it's the desire that is the thing. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do anything that doesn't please the Lord, because in one sense, I'm just as holy now as I was then. and I'm just as holy then as I am now. I can't become more holy. You can't become more holy. It's quite kind of... But I want to live in holiness. But to live in holiness means you're aware of all your weaknesses. Because when you're aware of God's holiness and who He is, you're aware of your frailness, vulnerableness, inabilities and all that sort of stuff. But yet, you don't live in those. You live in the good of who He is in you. God is working in all of our lives at this time. And I don't want to just pump your faith. I think our faith needs to be pumped in certain areas for certain things. We are a people of faith. But in terms of our faith being primed, the basis of how we move in faith isn't based on feelings or how we think we're doing. Amen. Let's all stand up, shall we? Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank Him this morning that you are weak in and of yourselves. Just thank Him that He hasn't got rid of your weakness, because His word says, my power or strength is made perfect in your weakness. Just thank Him that His power is perfected in our weaknesses. When we feel frail, when we don't feel adequate, that's when God says, great, what a great time to work through your life. When in the natural you don't feel confident, you don't feel energized, you don't feel strong, that's exactly the moment where we tend to trust God more, because we know our feelings can't get us there or our performance can't get us there. But it's like, well, God, I feel like I'm out of my depth. I just feel like haven't quite got it together. And God says, great, great. Then trust in me. Hang on to me. Believe me. And you'll see things. You'll see me come right through in your life. Father, I thank you that in you, you have perfected us. You have made us perfect. You have made us holy. That in you, we have been made holy. We've been made righteous. That you have made us sons of God. You're making us friends of God. But yeah, at the same time, we're aware that in and of ourselves, we're weak. And Father, I thank you that you have put your Holy Spirit in us to enable us to walk with you, to enable us to be a people of faith, to be a people of holiness. Father, I thank you this morning just for the breaking of every wrong perception that I need to be like somebody else or to feel how I think they feel in order to be used by God. I just break off all of that wrong thinking right now. If you know you've been thinking like that, just throw it off right now. If you've been thinking, well, one day when I have as much revelation as Dr. Jim, then maybe I'll feel like I think he feels. We just throw all that thinking off, because there's a lie in there from the enemy that says, look at him, look at her, look at them. One day when you're like them, you'll be good enough. When you feel like you think they feel, then you'll be ready. It's a lie. Throw it off right now. So I'm not living according to my feelings. I'm not going to live according to what I think other people feel when I see them do stuff. Just thank Him right now. Father, thank you that in my weakness, your strength, your power is perfected. And Father, I choose today to walk in your strength and in your power. Not in my abilities, not in my understanding, not in my feelings, but I choose to put your lordship, your spirit, Lord, over my feelings, my circumstances, my emotions. I thank you just for the quickening of the Holy Spirit today in all kinds of different things that are happening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For me personally, that when I felt the weakest, that's when you seem to see God do the most. And sometimes when I felt really confident and really, whoa, yeah, come on, you know, you find it's easier to do something in the flesh or in your own strength than when you feel weak. When you feel weak, it's like, God, you got to do it. God, you got to do it. God, you got to do it. Now, I think there's a place that you grow, you mature, that you understand your weaknesses. And in that weakness, there isn't a panic. Because when you're aware of your weakness, you go, oh, God, come on, God. Oh, look, you know, and there can be a little bit of a panic. But as God works in our lives and as we mature, you're aware of your weaknesses, but you ignore them. And you think, well, my weaknesses aren't going to make any difference to what God does now. I'm not talking about just sin in your life. Well, it doesn't matter if I sin because God will do it anyway. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about how you feel and the battle that goes on inside you sometimes. It's like, well, I'm just going to ignore that because actually, if I trust in God, he's going to do it. He's going to come through. So there's, let's put it this way, there's a rest of faith. There's an assurance of faith that gives you confidence, not a feeling, but gives you confidence that in your weakness, it's like, well, I'm just going to have to trust God anyway. I can't make this happen. I can't make God move. I can't do anything now that's going to change the situation. Father, I feel inadequate. I feel weak, but I'm just going to ignore that right now because I know that your power is made perfect in my weakness right now and that you can do something right now in this situation. And there can be a rest of faith, a confidence of faith where, yes, you're aware of your weaknesses, but you ignore them. And you say, well, I'm going forward anyway. And you don't have to prime that pump in a way to pump up a feeling. It's like, well, you're God, you're in me, you want to speak through my life, so let's go. It's just simple, but it's effective, living like that. Father, I thank you for that maturing in our lives. I thank you for that confidence in you that's not based on emotions or feelings, but it just simply is knowing who you are in us. And that when we turn up in any situation or whatever we're going through, that you really are in charge. And that you really can do the things you say you can do. Father, I thank you in these next few weeks as there's maybe a bit more outreach than we normally have because of different Christmas things going on. Father, I thank you that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. And you're going to touch many lives in these next few weeks through the different Christmas services we're going to do in prisons or in the town or in old people's homes or in the NRC. Whatever we're doing, Father, I thank you that many of us are going to have one-on-one chats with people and you're just going to speak words of life. Father, I thank you we're going to have the opportunity to pray for the sick and they're going to recover. Father, I thank you for all the things you're going to do, lives you're going to touch, lives you're going to transform. But most of all, we boast in you, Jesus. We boast in you, the Saviour, the Healer, the Deliverer, the Victorious One. We thank you. Just thank him this morning. Come on. Let's thank him that he is King, he is Lord, he is mighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.